In a tradition where we spend a great deal of time talking about love, it probably seems a little unsettling to hear the word hate, and to hear it in such a powerful and direct way in one small passage. Make no mistake, though, the word here, whether we hear it in English, or as it was originally written in Greek, or likely as it was originally spoken, probably in Aramaic, is hate. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. It likely feels odd to think of discipleship in terms of hatred. Shouldn't it be love? Isn't Jesus all about love? How did hate get put in there? Don't we have enough of that already? Since Luke wrote his gospel so long after the actual earthly life of Jesus, we don't really know really exactly what Jesus said here. But it should be clear enough that what he did say was dramatic, disconcerting, and memorable. The disciples remembered this one. You might even be able to picture a gathering of them after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, when they were maybe sharing some stories. Remember when Jesus said that thing about hate? And the rest of them nodding their heads, yeah, I remember that one. Who could forget that? The words were dramatic, disconcerting, memorable, unsettling. That's how Jesus often talked, with a touch of hyperbole to try to get to his point to stick, at least to stick out. They'll remember this one. They'll remember a little bit better anyway. Jesus, in front of a very large crowd, is trying in no uncertain terms to lay out exactly what he's doing and what it's all about and what it means to follow him. Discipleship is not a hobby to add to your list of diversions. Discipleship is not an extracurricular activity. It's not charity work, nor it is a handy association when there's nothing else better to do. Discipleship is different. Make no mistake. In the first century, one sure way to drive this home, to drive this point home in no uncertain terms, was to bring up family and family relationships. Because family was central in the time and place in which Jesus lived and taught. Family was central, even more than it is now. Want to get your point across that you're seeking something different, something radically different from the norm? Trying to say something remarkable about what it truly means to follow? Then talk about family. And in Jesus' case, it was to turn to the family and tell those who gathered that they must be willing to hate their families, to turn aside from them. Now, it's hard to say whether or not Jesus was really trying to get his followers to disengage themselves so forcefully, so thoroughly from their families. But Jesus was certainly trying to make a very pointed case that to follow him was different than any other loyalty that his audience could envision or imagine. Discipleship is not just a hobby. It is not just an extracurricular activity. It is not a charity. It's not something to be done on the side when you've got nothing else better to do. It's life-changing, completely and utterly. Make no mistake. That's pretty clear if we really open ourselves to what's going on here. And that probably sounds pretty big. Pretty hard to do. And it is. But at the same time, I thought today to take a little bit of time and to think about the ways in which we already do some of these things and how we could even do them better. And I'm going to talk about just two examples, one far away and one that is much more closer to home. The first, I want to say a little something actually about our experience during our vacation. We spent the first part of our vacation with family in eastern France on a couple of rivers that was delightful and lovely. And then Joe and the kids and I spent 5 days in Paris before we came home. We've been to Paris before. Paris is one of my favorite cities. I love visiting there, but we knew it would be different this time. It's a lot that's happened in Paris, as you well know, and it's a city definitely on high alert. You can't go anywhere without having your bags checked and usually having a metal detector run over you. A lot of sites, it's like going to the airport. Sometimes it's like going to the airport several times a day. And it turns out that that's also true when you go to church. Two Sundays ago, we went to worship at the American Church in Paris, again, a church that I've visited before in the past, couldn't get in the door without having our bags checked and Joe emptying his pockets. Can you imagine coming to worship and going through a security check? Probably not, but in Paris, every place must do this now. And it was interesting once we got in there and we sort of got a little sort of settled, and you know, I said something, it was unsettling enough to have our bags checked everywhere, but to then have our bags checked when we are heading into worship, it was kind of strange and odd, and you kind of sat down and felt kind of weird about the whole thing. And I said something about this to Joe, and Joe looked in around and he said, you know, if you think about it, if you really want to strike terror in the hearts of people and really unsettle them, this would be the place. Because in that worship service, it's not a very large congregation, but it's amazing in its diversity. There are people from various African countries, Asian countries, other European countries, and certainly there are Americans and British. It was stunning. I mean, there are people I couldn't figure out where they had come from. It's a stunning diversity of people. And at the same time, it is a people that is clearly engaged in worship and being the people of God. They talked a lot about their mission work in Paris and reaching out to the hungry and the homeless. It's also, it's where they light a candle during worship to observe a time of God's vision for compassion, peace, and justice that we will try out here as well. And then also where I really felt that really, like, we are God's people and we are the people of God at worship was during the passing of the peace, which they do at that service. And there were a couple of people, it was like they were in a race. They were trying to pass the peace to as many people as they possibly could during the short time that they had before they had to get back to their pew. Now, these are people who every single week must go through a security check to get into worship. And yet there are people who are, I mean, it was just, it's hard to articulate how determined they were that they are the people of God and that they had taken their level of discipleship to, you know, it probably was already there, but they had brought it to a new place, that they were a people of God at worship, no matter what was happening in the world around them. And that struck me as something that we need to not take for granted, but to remember and hang on to. And then the other example that I have is something that happened here, and something those on the oversight committee, I've already sent out a little email to all of you. It's about Wednesday night when we sat down to talk about what lurks in our basement and what we really don't want to have to deal with, but we were going to have to deal with in some way. The Oversight Committee had a very long and very challenging meeting. Again, it's one of those sort of things, if you weren't there, it's hard to say to you what happened at that meeting. But it was really quite amazing to me, because we had a lot to deal with, and it's a big problem. And yet, that meeting, we really, you know, we were a church. We were a community of faith doing this significant piece of work, dealing with something we didn't want to deal with, and yet there was no sort of lashing out at people, there was no anger, frustration, there was trust and a commitment to being a church and kind of recognizing that we're not just at a regular meeting, we're at a church meeting. And it means something. We need to figure out not just how to deal with this issue, but how does this, through what we have to deal with, how do we make sure that we are the people of God? And that how do we reflect our faithfulness when we deal with a very big challenge? And that was definitely on display Wednesday, even as grueling, we were exhausted. I don't know about you, I was exhausted. I just felt like I should sleep in my office. But that we do some of these things, that we are disciples who take seriously what it means to be God's people. But the lesson today and the reminder today is not to take that for granted, to observe it, hang on to it, and then also to seek ways that we can do that even better, and to not be shy about who we are as the people of God, and to allow God to reflect through us, from us, brazenly, boldly, to be the people that Jesus has called us to be. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you.